Okay. Hey, my name is Ethel. I'm an addict, compulsive overeater, and hi, everybody. I have done this work. I've worked these steps as laid out in this big book with the help of my big book step study sponsor and a loving God. I've made all the amends I can up to this moment, willing to make any others, and living in steps 10, 11, and 12 each day to the best of my ability. Wow. You know I love this chapter. And what I'm reminded of is how exciting it is to sit with a new person, to go over each of these pages and each of these concepts and to have conversation one-on-one about, do you see you here? You know, I mean, that the whole thing in here to me is, well, it's a lot. Identifying, must identify as a hopeless alcoholic. And that takes some time. And I'm so glad we're in All Addictions, because what we talk about is coming into the rooms and sitting through a rotation, steps 1 through 12, and listening to how this all fits together. I know before I was exposed to Big Book Step Study, but I was exposed to the Big Book, I didn't get it. I did not understand what it was trying to say to me. In the first paragraph, it says two words that are really, really important. One is hopeless, and the other is recovered. And the first time I heard someone refer to themselves as recovered, it sounded rather braggadocious. It really did. And it took time for me to understand that concept. And so I can say for myself, I am recovered. I am recovered today from a hopeless state of mind and body. If I don't keep in fit spiritual condition, I may not be recovered. It's not guaranteed to me to keep being recovered if I don't do steps 10, 11, and 12 and continually work on improving my spiritual life. And that for me is a daily thing. It's step 10, it says, you know, we can't rest on our laurels. And that says to me, well, you can't be lazy in this work. You know, it's daily work. This chapter also talks about, in the next paragraph, the fellowship and the camaraderie. And, oh, am I ever grateful for that in recovery. One of the notes I have in here is, and I heard this at one something, fellowship cannot hold us together, but the common solution can. Fellowship can't. The solution is what holds us together. And I feel like understanding how important this spiritual experience is. I liken this that they separate the difference between religion and spiritual experience. Say, well, you know, it's really good. You have a religious life, but that's not what we're all about. You know, that's a kind of an outside issue that you have a religious life. What we're talking about is developing a relationship with a power greater than yourself. And on the next page or somewhere in here, it talks about how our illness affects other people. And it took me a while to understand that, because I'm not an alcoholic, so I am an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. However, alcohol is not my substance. My substance and my addictive behaviors caused harm to all the people around me. And that was because it robbed me of being there for them. And in looking back over how life might have been different if I had been living in communion with the God of my understanding instead of being run on self-will, so many people wouldn't have been hurt and damaged. I do know that. Let's see. In working with someone who's new and talking repeatedly about the truth, and one of the paragraphs in here talks about how hard it is for the alcoholic to talk to psychologists or to talk to their families, to talk. And you know what? They don't know the truth. You know, they don't know what to say. I didn't know what to say. I said what I thought you wanted to hear. And a lot of times, if I thought somebody was trying to fix me, I just sat there and was mute. But that was part of my defiance. And it says here what we have to do is become armed with facts about ourselves. And the only way, that's just like leading us into doing our fourth and fifth step, is that without doing all of the digging, I would still not know the truth. I would still be living the lie. And I've said before that the problem with believing the lie is living the lie. If I believed it and acted contrary to the lie, that would have been different, I think. But I lived like the lie was true. And my example of that often is, I believed I was worthless. That was the truth I believed, was my worthlessness. And therefore, I behaved as a worthless person. So that's probably my best example of learning the truth. I love the word deportment on page 18. Deportment has to do with our conduct or behavior. And I remember being in the second grade. This is so funny. In the second grade, the nun wrote on my report card that I had very poor deportment. And dear God, I didn't know what that word meant. I mean, I thought I didn't stand up straight. You know, I mean, I just didn't know what my problem was, that I had poor deportment. And I didn't really find out what it meant until I got here, and we were told in doing this work to look up the definition of these words. And when I found out, no, it wasn't that I was all hunched over. No, my conduct and my behavior wasn't acceptable. So the other thing that at the bottom of page 19, it talks about most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for their opinions are attitudes which make us more useful to others. Now, when I think about the lack of tolerance that I have for other people and their viewpoints, and my history of being so self-absorbed that I couldn't possibly be of usefulness to anybody. And it was in, I think, step 9 that I learned that my purpose in life is to be useful to other people. So that selfishness that kept me going prevented me from living out my purpose. And when I had an opportunity to begin seeing that I was living out my purpose, it's kind of like this something that is uplifting. I'm not one of the dregs of society, for instance. I am helping put chairs away, or I'm doing some kind of service, something other than being in my recliner at home, which is, that's my selfish nature. So getting out on a rainy Sunday and coming and speaking, when everybody who knows me knows speaking is my gift, but I want to be able to share the recovery that I have received, I have been given. I didn't earn it. I have never earned recovery. I have followed the directions, and I have received recovery from a hopeless condition of mind and body. Let's see. When on page 20, it talks about how important it is that we who suffer from this hopeless state of mind and body, when we talk to each other and we nod our heads, we have a point of reference. If we don't have a point of reference, or somebody doesn't have a point of reference with us, there's no understanding. There's, what? What are you talking about? You did what? I mean, it's so amazing that point of reference of us having this in common. And, you know, we're here on there is a solution. And the solution is so much more powerful and so much more important than the problem. And I go back to being in all addictions, how we find over time that we have more addictions than we thought we did when we first came into recovery. And lately, one of the things that has been coming up is codependency. And when I think of codependency, I don't identify myself as a codependent. However, at my very core, I am one. And that, if you know, were watching my life through film, you'd see me acting out on it all the time. But coming in here and recovering from the insanity, recovering from the hopeless condition of mind and body, I keep saying that because it means so much to me to acknowledge that that's where I came from. That entire dialogue or monologue in my head about what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And then trying to fill in the blanks of what I thought was wrong with me. So following the directions, that's exactly what had to happen. It amuses me, like on page 21, where it says again, what about the real alcoholic? Now, that's opposed to the fake one, right? That's opposed to the pretend alcoholic or the whoever that is that's not a real alcoholic. To me, the alcoholic problem where it talks about it's in your mind, you know, the first part is in my mind, and the next thing is I didn't even know what I thought, and I picked up. And I'm like the one beat on there. How did I get started anyway? Oh, okay, I'll just have six of these. And it's like 3 days later, I'm still into it. But I haven't had to do that for a very long time. I've been delivered from that. I recognize how important it was to realize my selfishness and my dishonesty. I grew up in an alcoholic family. I grew up with a father who, when he wasn't drinking, was the kindest, sweetest man ever. But when he was drinking, he did not have any resemblance to the other dad that I knew. And for a long time, I held that against him until I totally identified with him. And I needed to identify with him to give him some grace and to understand where I come from. And how much I wish he had found recovery. He died at the age of 50. In here, it talks about dying at such a young age from being in your disease, and he died in his disease at age 50. And that's just really, really, really sad. So here's a promise. Once he takes any alcohol into his system, something happens, bodily and mentally. Can't stop. I get started, I can't stop. Just one more. Just one more. Is there any such thing once I got started that there was just one more? No. I couldn't do just one more, which is part of the definition of alcoholism. You can't stop once you start. And for me, once I got started, I had to pass out. And then I identify here with wake up the next morning and think, you know, I went to bed so intoxicated, I should not have any desire for all of that stuff. And yet I went right back to it over and over. And had a hard time understanding the truth. And it says on page 23, once in a while he may tell the truth. And it says he has no more idea why he took the first drink. That obsession, feeling that obsession, all I could think about was getting the next one. And that happened even after I had been abstinent for a long time. I picked up, and then I couldn't get enough. And I thought relapse was impossible. I really thought relapse was impossible. It's not. Relapse is, I mean, it goes back to what I started out saying about how important it is to stay in fit spiritual condition and to stay in steps 10, 11, and 12. And help others. And help others. That is such a key. You know, we read pages 83 to 88 every day, which I read 83 because that's where the promises are, and that kind of gives me the, here's why I'm going to read steps 10 and 11, because I really want to keep these promises going. That's just the way I want to live my life. In the spiritual experience, the main thing that says to me is how wrong we got it when we didn't have patience with ourselves, when we thought we had to get it. Just like, it reminds me of starting a new food plan and thinking by Friday I should have lost 10 pounds. Isn't that how that's supposed to work? But what it's telling us is it takes what it takes. Some people may get it right away. I am a slow study. Took me a long time to really understand this is a disease. This isn't some little problem. This is a disease that affects us both mentally and bodily. And we are beyond human aid. So the only thing that's going to help us is, the only thing that's going to restore us to sanity is a spiritual experience, a relationship with a power greater than ourselves. And that is the good news. That is the good news. We're not on our own to figure this all out for ourselves. We have these meetings. We have the fellowship. We have the camaraderie. We have people sharing the solution with each other and not focusing so much on the problem. And I found myself having, here we talk about tolerance. When I find myself around somebody in my profession that all they want to talk about is the problem, I got to walk away. I say, there's a solution. Have you thought about the solution? Blah, 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 blah. Problem, problem, problem. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to have to go talk to so-and-so now. I can't handle it. And maybe God will work on me to give me more whatever I need to deal with people who are just so enmeshed in the problem. But I think there's so much in here, and I can't cover it all. I only got up to page 25. But there is a solution. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And sanity is huge. Coming from somebody who lived an insane life. Thank you all so much. Thank if you're you. Work and work.
Thanks, Ethel. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.